Kennedy had made her position clear without saying a word to him. At the memory, temper stirred, belying his words. There were things he needed to say to her, questions he wanted answered. But whatever her faults, Kennedy had just lost her mother, too, and Xander wasn't the kind of asshole who'd attack her and demand them while she was reeling from that. Chances were she'd be gone before he had an opportunity to say a thing. He'd gotten used to living with disappointment on that front. He laid a hand over Prue's.
Don't worry about me. How's Ari?
She straightened. Devastated. Terrified. And, Prue sighed, not speaking.
Not speaking?
Not since I told her. She'd come so far living here with Mom, and this is an enormous setback. No surprise, especially having just lost her grandmother last year. Prue continued to bustle around the kitchen, pouring herself a cup of coffee and coming to sit with him at the table. Her long, capable fingers wrapped around the mug.
She upstairs?
Yeah. I was trying to get her to eat something when you got here.
Poor kid. Have you talked to the social worker yet?
Briefly. May wants to let us get through the funeral and all the stuff after before we all figure out what to do.
Who would have been named her emergency guardian if the adoption had gone through?
Xander asked. The four of us, probably. I know it's what Mom would have wanted, but there are legal ramifications to the situation, and the fact is, I'm the only one still here. She sighed. We'll have to talk about it after. The one thing I know we'll all be in agreement on is that we want what's best for Ari.
All four of you have been in her shoes, and you turned into amazing women. I know you'll do the right thing.
Whatever that turned out to be. Xander polished off the coffee.
I'm on shift, so I need to be getting back. But please, if you need anything, Prue, don't hesitate to call. I'm just down the road.
She rose as he did and laid a hand on his cheek. You're a good stand-in brother, Xander. Mom always loved that about you. He felt another prick of guilt, knowing his own involvement with this family had been heavily motivated by trying to make up for Kennedy's absence.
Yeah, well, I ran as tame here as the rest of you when we were kids, especially when Porter was around.
Giving her another squeeze, he asked,
Can I do that for you? Notify the rest of her fosters? I know you've covered your sisters, but there were a lot of kids who went through here over the years. I'm sure they'd like to pay their respects.
Her face relaxed a fraction. That would be amazing. I'm sure we'll have a house full after the funeral, but I need a chance to gird my loins for the influx. Mom kept a list. I'll get it for you. As she disappeared upstairs, he wandered into the living room. Little had changed over the years. The big, cushy sofas had rotated a time or two, and there'd been at least three rugs that he could remember. But photos of Joan and her charges were scattered everywhere. Xander eased along the wall, scanning faces. A lot of them he knew. A lot of them he didn't. A shot at the end caught his attention. The girl's face was turned away from the camera, looking out over the misty mountains. She was on the cusp of womanhood, her long, tanned legs crossed on the swing that still hung from the porch outside, a book forgotten in her lap. Her golden hair was caught in a loose tail at her nape. Xander's fingers itched with the memory of the silky strands flowing through his fingers. She'd been 16, gorgeous, and the center of his world. The sight of her still gave him a punch in the gut. Here it is. At the sound of Prue's voice, Xander turned away from Kennedy's picture.
Over and done.
He strode over and took the pages she'd printed.
I'll take care of it,
he promised. Thank you, Xander. This means a lot.
Anytime.
With one last affectionate tug on her hair, he stepped outside. Away from memories and the looming specter of what might have been.